Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Another day, another way scientists are trying to make us stop eating meat. Researchers have been on a quest to find the most sustainable and environmentally friendly alternative to meat and other animal-based products. A recently published study in Nature Communications, I love Nature Communications, suggested our dystopian future could feature genetically engineered mold as a prime source of nutrition. Yum! Yum. Researchers at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, I'm a big fan of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, reported they had a study that demonstrated how edible fungus, Aspergillus
oryzae,
can be bioengineered to enhance its nutritional value and sensory appeal as a meat substitute. Hey, I'd like to order a steak. I'm sorry. All we have is fungus and cooked
Aspergillus oryzae.
Man, does that sound good. No, thank you. No, thank you. Apparently, fungi could be the future of our daily nutritional intake. Not my future, but maybe yours, as they include a huge range of tasty and nutritious proteins, fats, antioxidants, and flavor molecules. Do they? Do they? Yes, they do, Jeff. According to researchers, they were able to use synthetic biological tools to modify the fungus. Oh, that's great. So we're modifying the fungus and raising the production of key nutrients and flavor molecules. Why would we be doing that, you ask? Well, researchers said that their method brought the substance closer to mirroring the texture of taste and real meat. Again, you ask, why would they be doing that? Well, because people want to eat meat. They don't want
Aspergillus oryzae.
Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Happy Vernal Equinox Day. The first day of spring. Today is the day. If you're listening live, it is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Now, the exact time that we launch into the vernal equinox, spring, is 11:06 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sorry, Eastern Daylight Time. So it's important. Have fun, enjoy, and enjoy your vernal equinox day party that should begin at 11:06 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I know what you're thinking. Hey, I thought March 1st was the beginning of spring. Well, that's what the meteorologists say. But what do they know? Yeah, they don't even know if it's going to rain today. No. Today is the day when the sun's rays shine directly on the equator. Then we have the autumnal equinox in September, when the Earth's axis is tilted neither toward nor away from the sun, resulting in roughly 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness almost everywhere on the planet. So happy spring! Okay, I thought this, speaking of, hey, happy spring, I thought this only happened in Europe. In Europe, but it is happening here in the United States as well. 6th, 8th grade students in Southwick, Massachusetts have been criminally charged for their involvement in an alleged hateful and racist Snapchat group. No. According to a Hampden District Attorney, Anthony Giuliani, G-U-L-L-U-N-I. The group chat in question featured appalling language and behavior, including a mock slave auction and derogatory remarks aimed at people of color. So, sorry, I know you don't like it, but tough. The existence of the group chat and the comments made were first reported to the school authorities at Southwick Regional School, and upon learning about the group chat, they notified Massachusetts State Police Detective Unit to launch an investigation. Subsequently, he authorized the detective unit and the chief of the juvenile court unit to pursue criminal charges against the involved students. No, thank you. The charges levied against the children include threats to commit a crime. They never committed one, with two of them facing additional charges for interference with civil rights. One additional child is facing a witness interference charge. Okay, come on. Hatred and racism have no place in this community. I don't disagree with that. And where this behavior becomes criminal, yeah, I'd like to know when that was. I will ensure that we act and act with swift result, as we did here. Yeah, where was the crime there, Mr. Police Detective? I'd like to know where the crime was. They were talking amongst themselves in a Snapchat group chat room. I mean, I get it. You don't like what they were talking about. There's no question that the alleged behavior of these six juveniles is vile, cruel, and contemptible. Okay. And that's not breaking the law. In response to this incident, several of the students were promptly suspended from Southwest Regional School. Two more students were suspended for 25 days and another for 45 days. All right, I guess maybe the school can suspend them. I may be okay with that, but not to have the law involved in a Snapchat chat room. No, thank you. This is ridiculous. It is, I mean, we are in deep trouble if you can't say what you want to say in a text, in a group chat. It's just incredible. And this, I hope this does not stand, because there's no crime here. I'm sorry. No, I don't care what they did. I got it. You don't like what they said, and you believe that it's vile, cruel, and contemptible. I got it. But that's not a legal crime. Sorry. You know, if there is such a thing as a legal crime, most crimes are illegal, but, you know, whatever. Speaking of a legal crime, I failed to congratulate Vladimir Putin as he was reelected as the president of Russia. And so congratulations to Vladimir for being elected by the people as president of Russia again. Now, I thought that we kind of predicted that it would be over 90%. It wasn't. So maybe there's a little strife going on in Russia, because I think he only won by like 88%. Now, I don't know what happened to the 12% that voted against him. I'm guessing 10% are now dead. That's not funny, Jeff. I know. I'm sorry. But congratulations to Vladimir Putin for being reelected as president of Russia. He's already talking about World War III in his victory speech. He was pissed at NATO, and he's saying, oh, that could lead to full-scale Third World War. Yeah, you know, it could. But right now, NATO is, you know, not doing that. Although, you know, you could make the case that maybe they are. And I see where the European Parliament, man, this is going to be tough. I hope he will be able, won't be able to say no to this. The European Parliament has adopted a non-binding resolution. Oh, yeah, because there's no such thing as a binding resolution from the European Parliament to Russia, that they should return the gold that they took from Romania during World War I. Yeah, that's going to happen. As you know, I am not a huge fan of PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Sometimes I believe they are agonizing overall. And I have a human's first attitude, and they do not. They oppose speciesism, which is a human supremacist worldview. Yeah, that's what I have. I have a human supremacist worldview, okay? Humans first. PETA disagrees with that. However, this story, I think I agree with them. I know, but let's do the story and we'll try to work it out together, okay? So they have asked the White House to change its Easter egg roll into an Easter potato roll. In a letter to First Lady Jill Biden, PETA President Ingrid Newkirk, who I am sure is a fan of me, floated the idea suggesting the switch from eggs to spuds. So instead of promoting the factory farming and slaughter industries, they want to initiate the White House potato roll. She said potatoes can be safely dyed, allowing for spudtacular traditional activities. Rolling them, seeking for them and decorating them. You can even hold the potato sack races and games of hot potato. I kind of like it. So Easter is not a time of renewal or joy for chickens on egg factory farms. See, that's where you lose me, because I don't care about the chickens on the egg factory farms. I want them to continue to make eggs. Okay, I want them to continue to make eggs. So according to this story, it can take up to 36 hours in a typically hellish conditions for a hen who spends her entire life in a cage, smaller than a letter-sized sheet of paper, to produce just one of the thousands of eggs slated to be used at the White House Easter egg roll. Okay, so I don't know why I think it's a good idea. Why use eggs if you could use potatoes? Eggs are getting really expensive, although so is everything, and the potatoes, I don't know what the cost differential is, but I feel like, if you want to use potatoes, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I disagree with why, but I'm okay with using the potatoes instead of the eggs. That event is going to happen on April 1st, so why not use potatoes instead of eggs, since it'll be April Fool's Day? Why doesn't that surprise me? So, PETA has also floated the ideas of wooden eggs or, painted rocks. That's what we want. Painted rocks so the kids could just rifle rocks at people. Or egg-shaped balls. You can write your own jokes. In the letter last year, she claimed that such a move would make the event extra special for chickens. Get it? And inclusive of all children who attend. It's still inclusive to all children who attend. Well, what about the ones that don't consume eggs for ethical, environmental, or health reasons? There's not a kid on the planet that, I'm sorry, that's going to do an egg roll. I can't do that for ethical reasons. Really? Okay. Yeah, my mom and dad said so. Okay. All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Billy. Get out of here. But I think I'm okay with the potato roll. It's not a bad idea. Why not? And it'd be fun, and you don't have to break eggs, and you can color them, and it'd be kind of funny. But it's not, again, I'm agreeing with the idea just because I think it's not a bad idea. Sure, go ahead, use potatoes, and you can cook them up and fry them up better than eggs after the event. So you round up your basket of potatoes, you take them over to the cook, and they slice them up and cook up those potatoes so you can eat. I'm a fan of that. Not for PETA reasons, but I think we can go ahead and do it. Be sure to follow me on X at JeffyJFR. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can always email the show anytime. That's the way email works. ChewingTheFat@TheBlaze.com. You can order a cameo from me at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. That's, of course, not free, but it's fun, and you can order the cameo at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. I believe it's at Jeff Fisher on the website. Now, normally I tell you that, you know, you get this show for free. If you're a subscriber to this show, you get it for free. And, you know, I appreciate it. If you're listening to the show and you're not a subscriber, you need to go ahead and subscribe on whatever platform you want to listen to the show on. If you a friend is and you're listening to it on a friend's platform, you can listen to it on another platform. But you need to be a subscriber. Nobody likes a freeloader. Okay, everybody likes free stuff, but nobody likes a freeloader. So subscribe to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Then I tell you, well, hey, what helps make this show free is if you're a subscriber to Blaze TV Plus. And I tell you to go to blaze.tv/Jeffy and use the promo code Jeffy. Well, you could save $20. Here's what you need to do. Okay, I got an inside track for you. Go to therealbordercrisis.com. Therealbordercrisis.com. Use the code Border, B-O-R-D-E-R, and get $30 off your Blaze TV Plus subscription. So I'm saving you more money by doing that, and you're helping keep this show free. Now, of course, they want you to watch our Blaze originals, which are fantastic, and the latest one is Texas versus the feds, how the elites use the border crisis against us. It's up. It's fantastic. Jason Buttrell is the main, well, he's a star. I mean, he's part of a Talking Walking Dead podcast, and he's a star on this particular show. Jason, well, so is the Blaze Originals team. But they found incredible news about Texas and the border. And it's fascinating. You know, the estimate, according to the experts, that 5.5 million people have illegally crossed into the U.S. in the last 36 months. That's funny. That's funny. Because even that is, you know, an all-time high, and I believe that that number is way low, okay? But, so we'll check it out. Texas versus the feds, how the elites use the border crisis against us. But most importantly, therealbordercrisis.com. Use the code BORDER and get $30 off your Blaze TV Plus subscription. So you get all the Blaze TV shows and you'll get the website. And that will help keep this show free. You're welcome. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So, as we talked about earlier, we know that the vernal equinox, it's officially spring at 11.06 p.m. Eastern today, Tuesday, March 19th, for those of you listening live. What better way to celebrate the old vernal equinox than winning the Mega Millions lottery drawing? Would that be awesome? It would be for me. $875 million jackpot. $413.5 million cash payout for the drawing. It's already the 6th largest Mega Millions drawing. The other five are over a billion. So I will be happy with only the $875 million. Dollar jackpot. That would be a bring home spring to me. It would be a beautiful springtime, beautiful day, wouldn't it? Now, that having been said, if I miss the Mega, you know, a good way to celebrate the first day of spring would be to win the Powerball, which is that drawing is on Wednesday. $687 million jackpot, $327.3 million. Cash payout. So either way, I'm willing to celebrate spring in the best way I know how, winning a lotto jackpot. I see where Kung Fu Panda was still number one at the box office this past weekend. It has at 30 million domestically. It's 176 million global now and 107.7 million total in the U.S. That's what 2 weeks on the charts. Dune hanging in there at number two with another 29.1 million domestically. That has hit $494.7 million worldwide, so it's doing pretty well. Then there was Arthur the King and Imaginary. Cabrini coming in at number five. That is getting great reviews. Everybody loves it, but it only made almost 3 million. So it's only made 13 million domestically. Interesting. Bob Marley still hanging in there at number seven, One Love. I've got to see that. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then I see number nine, which I had not heard of, called the American Society of Magical Negroes. Now, that was its first week. This past weekend, it made $1.25 million. Not that good. I had not seen the trailer. I haven't looked at the trailer, but I went to IMDb and I looked up the American Society of Magical Negroes. And it's a movie about a young man, Aaron, A-R-E-N, is recruited into a secret society of magical black people who dedicate their lives to a cause of utmost importance, making white people's lives easier. I don't know. Is it wrong of me to say I could be a fan of this magical society? And also, where have they been? Because I need a little help from any magical secret society I can get. I see where Amazon is partnering up with Mr. Beast. I feel like we talked about this when they first started talking with each other, but now they're looking to partner with Mr. Beast, aka Jimmy Donaldson. He just inked a deal with Amazon MGM Studios to host and executive produce Beast Games for Prime Video. Wow. He hosted a real-life Squid Game contest in 2021, got 588 million YouTube views, so I'm guessing Amazon figures he's, you know, qualified for the job. There's no release date yet for Beast Games, but according to reports, it's going to pit 1,000 people against each other for a $5 million grand prize, which is the largest in history of television and streaming per Amazon. So it's kind of a Squid Game-ish thing. This was just a precursor to that. 1,000 people against each other for a $5 million grand prize. So it should be fun. You know, we'll see. Look, Mr. Beast is the man now, right? I mean, he's got, he has monetized videos, branded merchandise, snacks, grossed $82 million from June 2022 to June 2023. That's a good year. I don't know. Might not be for you, but for me, $82 million in that time period, that's a good year. And so congratulations to Mr. Beast and his deal with Amazon Prime Video. No word on what the payment was to Mr. Beast. I'm sure it was a couple of bucks. Oh, and hey, happy birthday to Bruce Willis. Bruce turns 69 today. According to all the headlines, he is expected to spend the day with family and friends, and, you know, mostly just the family. His daughters and ex, Demi, will be there. They love throwing that in there. Of course, they've all been living together. The new wife, the new kids, the old kids, they've all been together. Bruce is struggling. He's been the guy. He's taken care of all of them, so it's their turn to take care of him. So, happy birthday to Bruce. Very sad. I know, his diagnosis with the frontotemporal dementia has really put a damper. That's put a damper on his life for sure, and a damper on the rest of them. No kidding. I did see, and I believe that I'm right on this. Okay. So the other day, I see a story about his daughter, Tallulah Willis, who revealed that she has autism, and she revealed that, you know, she learned this recently, and she shared the news on Instagram along with a throwback video of her and her dad, and she was, you know, rubbing her dad's bald head, and, you know, her sister commented saying that the actress was stimming. That's defined as a repetitive performance of a certain physical movement. And I thought to myself, wow, so she's getting tired of having all the news be about dad. And then I realized that today I see that it's his birthday, and I thought, there you go. She knew that the old birthday was coming up and all the news would be about dad. So she had to get out there with some news, because don't forget, a while ago she talked about how she had recovery from her eating disorder and how she struggled with anorexia. And look, she may be struggling, I get it. And you know, she's having a tough time. They all are having a tough time. But the world is revolved around Bruce and Mom, Demi, and not you, Tallulah. But you keep trying. You keep trying. Today? Well, no one of any real prominence. So if someone that you know or love has passed away, rest in peace to them. But no one of any real prominence that I know of. I do know that Dr. Dre said he had 3 strokes after a brain aneurysm in 2021. He was on a podcast. He was on SiriusXM's The Life of Mine with James Corden, which I mean, he's getting Dr. Dre. I'm sure it's great. Anyway, he's just saying that he was in the hospital in 2021 and had 3 strokes. He said, I went to the hospital after I woke up feeling behind the right ear turned into the worst pain I had. I got up and went about my day. I thought I could just lay down, take a nap. My son had a female friend that was there. Oh, yeah, the son was taking care of a little business. And the business friend said, now we need to take your dad to the hospital. We can't let anything happen to him. He's the guy that's paying for all of this. So they took him to urgent care. Now, that's my quote, not hers. The next thing you know, I'm blacking out. I'm in and out of consciousness. I ended up in the ICU. I was there for 2 weeks. I'm hearing the doctors coming in and saying, you don't know how lucky you are. The music mogul said he received treatment at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, thanked the medical team providing excellent care in a statement in 2021. He asked the doctors what he could have done to prevent the aneurysm. Nobody could give me an answer. Huh. I'm sure if it would have been that, they would have said something, right? Of course they would have. Of course they would have. They would have said something. That's just silly. He said that, hey, it makes you appreciate being alive. Well, yeah, that is for sure. But interesting how they're saying, well, high blood pressure in black men. Yeah, they call it the silent killer. Yeah, that's heart attacks. That's not necessarily strokes. But okay, whatever, you got it. Couldn't have been that, because they would have said that. Then I see where Daryl Strawberry, you know Daryl, he's the man. I mean, I love Daryl. He announced that he had a big heart attack. He's recovering from a heart attack. He lives outside of St. Louis in St. Peter's, Missouri. And he said he, you know, began feeling chest pain. I know the feeling. And then his wife called an ambulance. I know the feeling. And he said he was already in the ambulance when he suffered the heart attack. I know the feeling. And he received a life-saving angioplasty. Again, I know the feeling. So Daryl is okay. Although Daryl says he has to have a monitor now that he has to wear so doctors can keep up with me. Okay. I don't have a monitor. I don't know if that's good or bad for me and or Daryl. Anyway, he underwent colon cancer surgery back in 98 when he was playing for the Yankees. I mean, you know, Daryl had a amazing career. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He did all kinds of drugs. There were some books out that showed Daryl doing massive amounts of drugs. And good for him. You know what? If you can afford it and have fun, and that, I guess, hurt his career. But he won the World Series 3 times, once with the Mets, twice with the Yankees. And the Mets are going to honor Strawberry's career by retiring number 18 on June 1st. That's pretty incredible. that were retiring Daryl Strawberry's iconic number as, you know, his part of the 1986 championship team of the Mets. Congratulations to Daryl. He lived down in Tampa Bay for a while, and there was a few run-ins with a few people down in Tampa Bay. Anyway, I'm a fan, and good for Daryl that he's doing better after the heart attack at the age of 62. And that's just your, you know, everyday heart attack. Well, that definitely didn't have anything to do with that. So don't even think about that. And then I see a headline that has the... It just made me laugh out loud. It actually made me laugh out loud. Why are so many people getting cancer? I don't know. I wonder why. So the rate of early onset cancers in people under 50 years old is expected to rise by a third over the next decade. I wonder why that could be. Well, I'm sure it's dietary changes. I'm sure. I'm sure it's climate change. You know, I'm sure it's exercise, lack of exercise. I'm sure it's obesity. It most definitely isn't that. They can't figure out, they're not quite sure why. They're trying to figure out, in fact, why those numbers in cancers are increasing. I can't figure it out either. But it certainly wouldn't be that, because if it was that, they would have said it, right? Right. And I guess really we could say who died today is the American worker. The other day we saw the story that made the rounds about Tyson Foods wants to hire 42,000 migrants to work in the United States. And this comes after they're already announced that they're laying off 1,200 employees after shutting down a facility in Iowa. And so, yeah, you know, we want to hire some migrants. And then according to that story, they were talking about the tent partnership for refugees. And it makes one think, well, I bet they're not the only company. Yeah, there's a list of at least 400 other companies. Now, that doesn't mean that they are participating. I guess they're just putting themselves on the list for this tent partnership for refugees. And I mean, the top of the list is Amazon, Tyson, of course, Blackstone, Pepsi, Pfizer, Delta, Chobani, Uber, Airbnb, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Kraft, Heinz, Hilton, Marriott International, Cargill, Gate Group, ISS, Hyatt, IBM, the Big Table Group, Unilever. Oh, wait, Unilever. What is Unilever? Well, they're on the tent program. I just saw a story about Unilever today. Oh, that's right. They're cutting 7,500 jobs under a cost-saving plan, and they're going to spin off their ice cream business. Huh. That is weird that they're part of this tent partnership to hire refugees. Isn't it, though? Visa, Manpower Group, and the list goes on and on. So maybe the American worker did die today. It certainly is being rushed to the hospital. Just amazing. But hey, don't worry about it, because President Biden's got new shoes. he's got some new shoes that apparently the Hokas, that are meant for hiking, walking, and, you know, lifestyle shoes. They're designed for easy on and off. The shoes go between $150 and $200 a pair. It also advertises neutral stability for wearers who want a symmetrical bed of cushion. So Joe is wearing his new Hokas so that he doesn't trip and fall. We hope that that, you know, doesn't happen, but don't worry about it, because the tent program is going strong. We're getting rid of American workers for the refugees. We're trying to have Americans rent their product, sell their product to refugees at a lower price, and it's good time in America. But the good news is that President Biden has got his new pair of Hokas on so that he doesn't trip and fall when he's walking. I will say that this weekend he was in Saginaw, Michigan, and it brought back just a ton of memories. I mean, I was born and raised in Saginaw, Michigan. And if you look at Saginaw's right here, you look at my hand here, is where Saginaw is, Tri-Cities, Saginaw, Bay City, Midland. Anyway, he was in Saginaw, and he was at the home, and I guess it's their home, Saginaw City Councilman Bill Oshtosh and Saginaw School Board member Kevin Roker. I guess it's their home, but they said that it was in this district. I had never heard it in the Cathedral District of Saginaw. I guess that's, you know, historic district now in Saginaw. It's the east side. I worked on the east side for quite a while. That's, you know, most of the, for years, the east side was predominantly African-American, and the west side was predominantly white, Anglo-Saxon. But whatever, the houses, they're trying to fix them up. And those old houses, some of them are beautiful, been there for forever. And, you know, they obviously fixing them up, and good for Joe Biden. Anyway, I went down memory lane as the president walked around my hometown in Saginaw. He was lost multiple times. I could have pointed out, no, Joe, this way. But I wasn't invited for the campaign event, so he was just without me, wandering around in his new shoes. So we've talked about how now may not be a good time to visit Haiti. I don't even know if they'd let you in, actually. But we are at least getting some of our U.S. citizens out of Haiti. Earlier this week, we flew the first flight carrying dozens of U.S. citizens fleeing Haiti. I mean, they're in big trouble down there. Right now, 80% of Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, is ruled by gangs. And I would probably say that is not true. I would say that 100% of Haiti is ruled by gangs, because they talked about how authorities in Haiti have put a curfew in place and declared a state of emergency. What authority? The gangs are running the joint. Okay. The head guy quit. He left. Okay, Prime Minister, have a nice day. He's out. I guess there's still some sort of law and order that's trying to, you know, keep the gang violence from escalating any more than it already is. But good luck. I mean, that place is it's going to take a lot more than no, please, please, guys, stop. I mean, We have the governor of Ron DeSantis he's deployed law enforcement off the coast of Florida. Good. We don't need those refugees coming in. We have enough refugees coming in across the other borders. The U.S. Coast Guard is sending back the Haitians fleeing by sea. Good. Haitian Americans fearful for relatives stuck in Haiti. Yeah, you should have gotten them out when you had the chance. And they talk, the UN has warned, well, the UN has got a report now that a couple of things. One from Haiti that says 4 million people in Haiti face acute food insecurity. Oh, well, what a bummer. They shouldn't be doing this. And look, the Dominican Republic, you know, I don't know if you know how it works, but Haiti and the Dominican Republic share the same island, right? The Dominican is building a wall. The Dominican Republic is building a wall to stop the Haitians from coming to the Dominican Republic. So that might should tell you something. I don't know what it should tell you, but it should tell you something. And I know the situation is deteriorating even faster than many people thought it would. And they're running out of time. But good luck. I know that, you know, we are in talks for a transitional council. Uh-huh. That'll work. Okay. That'll work. Let's get that transitional council in there, shall we? They just released like 4,000 prisoners roaming in Haiti trying to come to the United States, I'll bet. Trying to go to the Dominican Republic, I'll bet. So, you know, we need to do something. That is for sure. What that is, I don't necessarily know that I have the answer to that. But if we can come up with a transitional council that'll take care of Haiti in the interim, okay. The less to do with the United States the better. Okay. And what my, I saw two stories with the UN today. One was the, you know, on Haiti and the 4 million people facing acute food insecurity. And I don't wish that on anyone, but times are tough. And look, that's, you know, it's tough times there. But they also released a report where they said that famine is imminent in northern Gaza as the Israel-Hamas war continues. Oh, well. Maybe they shouldn't have attacked Israel. Again, that's just me, though. That's just me. Maybe they shouldn't have attacked Israel. Oh, and we've seen the reports, and if you haven't, there are reports out there where the Palestinians are complaining about the food that they're being given. So you start a war, and now you're complaining. Well, they're not complaining, but the UN is, that famine is imminent, and you're going to complain about the food that you get? I don't think so. Now back to Haiti. And look, that place has been a nightmare for quite some time. They've been taking people hostage and holding them for ransom. For months, the United Nations, who, you know, I realize I don't really care too much about the United Nations, but they've been calling for a military intervention in the country. Yeah, since they wanted us to do it. That's what we're calling for, but you need to do it. Well, now they're going to get help from Kenya, okay? Kenya has responded this weekend saying, hey, you know what? We'll positively consider leading a multinational force to Haiti with 1,000-strong contingent of Kenyan police. So how about that, huh? And the Bahamas said they offered 150 people to the force. So it's looking good. It's going to turn around in Haiti anytime. It's going to turn around anytime. And look, I don't want it to continue to be bad. I don't have an answer. I guess we do need to send in some sort of international force and help. Okay. I mean, I just don't want it to be us. I just don't want it to be us. And it very well may be, you know, along with the Kenyan police. All right. Let's get out of here. I kind of am tired. I'm sorry. I'll leave you the joke of the day today. All right. Joke of the day. Son's wedding. This is not funny. All right, this joke, I'm going to tell you this joke, but I just know that I didn't write it, and it's not funny because it's not the way it should be, okay? A dad texts his son before his wedding, to my dear son, today is the day you will cherish for all your days of your life. My best love and good wishes, Dad. His son texts back, thanks, Dad, but the wedding isn't until tomorrow. His dad replies, I know. You see what I mean? That's just... you know what he was saying.
And subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.